time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on The Grave Talks, from soldier to medium, we continue our conversation with Dean McMurray. So you have this experience, you go to the psychic, and then she's like, look, you are open to this, and this is kind of a new path for you. And did you have to go...
She didn't say you're open to this, because I weren't really receptive, but she's like, hey, you're this. And I'm like, you're full of crap.
So did it kind of take a while to come around to that? Or was it something that you're like, she is so full of it?
In a sense, you know, it's like, okay, you know, after I did the test reading and everything, I'm like, well, maybe I am. So, because I couldn't refute, like, it was almost like grandma sitting in the corner going, Dean, do you remember what happened the other night? Like when I came to visit you, and I go, yeah, well then how about you stay open to you being a medium? Or if I had another, and even, you know, throughout all the years, Carol, between, you know, going back, what, 13 years now, of having experience, or maybe somebody coming at it from, it's almost like grandma always pops in going, let's rewind the reel, Dean. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. You know, and going, yep, can't forget it. And she's like, then how about you just stay open just a little bit? And then I'm like, okay. And it, every time that I do, I'm like, you know, I might not have, might not be in it 100%, but at least I have an appreciation of something. But that's kind of how I, you know, I didn't just go jumping off the cliff and embracing mediumship. Mm-hmm. It was more about, okay, if I'm a medium now, what does that mean? And I kind of looked at the universe and went, what am I going to give readings in my basement and my garage?
Exactly. Cause it's not like, okay, now what do I do? How did you go back to your psychic friend and say, how did you start your business model?
Right. Well, and it's kind of funny, because I think there was my spirit guide up there going, yeah, you're going to be given readings in your basement, your garage, in an Uber, in a boat, wherever you're being called to go. You know, hospice units, what, and I just think of all the locations that I've been blessed to go and connect with others. And go back a little bit when our conversation, Carol, and talking about being part of something bigger, and mm-hmm. and kind of, and that's why I was like, oh, well, I'm helping others heal one connection at a time. Like, if you're meeting with one person, or maybe a small group of people, or maybe it's a large group of people, but you're still connecting, you know, one at a time, in a sense. And I'm like, you're helping people heal. And I was like, in a completely different way, but I was like, and so that's kind of been my, you know, kind of statement, so to speak, of helping others heal one connection at a time. So, and that's why I always kind of, you know, keeping the main thing, and, but back when I used to ask myself that, you know, it's like, okay, where, you know, am I really going to be doing this for a living? You know, I don't, and I certainly didn't in those early days, I did not see myself doing it because I was, you know, still very much in the military. And, but after I took a mediumship class and other things, and it was still very much Dean the soldier by day and Dean the medium by night. And it almost
that
sounds like
an interesting combination. That is an interesting double life.
It sounds like a new Marvel comic, right?
It does.
But so, yeah. So, well, and it really was because I was working full time for the guard. And it was pretty much at this point, it was kind of a side thing. I was, you know, whenever my daughter didn't have dance, whenever, you know, I didn't have, you know, family stuff. But I started, you know, you start giving readings for family and friends. And then next thing you know, my phone started ringing and I was like, you know, like, who's this? Well, you don't know me, but I'm a friend of a friend of a friend. They said you're doing readings. And I'm like, yep. And so I didn't have a website. I wasn't even out on Facebook yet. It was very much like a word of mouth thing. And I realized quickly that I needed to buy one of those appointment calendar things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I could put in like, you know, our daughter had dance from, you know, we got a, I don't know, a barbecue with the Johnsons on this day. But then I got a reading like, you know, if I had like however long the session was at the time, I could figure out where I had these little pockets of time in amongst life. And I worked in readings. And because that's one of the things my mentor told me at the time of, Dean, just go and do as many readings as you can. And, you know, and I did that for about a year. I just did readings because
that makes
I didn't
sense.
Charge any.
Huh? It makes so much sense to me, too, that you would do that because as in anything, to get better at what you do, you have to be doing it and you have to learn from it. And so with what you do, you would have to learn to trust it as well.
Yeah.
And what are the signs and how do they come through to you? I would imagine, now I could be totally wrong, that there would be some similarities that you know, this is coming through. I can't stop it. And like in the Uber, like, excuse me.
The Ubers.
On our way across town, can we have this conversation? Yeah. And you might think it's weird.
But, well, I first want to share is that you're exactly right is... You know, if you want to do anything better, you got to continuously do it. You know, the aspect I heard somebody one time use a reference of music and, you know, the best musicians in the world only get better or become the best in the world by playing, you know, doing it again and doing the number again. So and that's the same thing of getting in touch with your you know, so you're doing it over and over and over as many times as you can. But yeah, getting to the reading aspect is, you know, I found one of the things is that I blend my, what's developed for me over the years is what I found is as I've developed a sense of self, I'll call it, because understanding how I work with the universe, you know, like sometimes my abilities to smell spirit, meaning sometimes I'll smell smoke or other times I'll feel a physical sensation of, you know, like a headache or like a pain or something in my body that is not mine because sometimes I need to realize that I go, is that really mine? And all of a sudden when I go, nope, that's not mine. And then it just disappears. Well, I get that we at times get random aches and pains that go and, you know, come and go as they please. However, being very much empathic and being able to connect to spirit world, not only in the communication aspect, but physically, the aspect of feeling different things. I gave a reading one time where I could feel it in my head and where I was touching my head in different areas while I was doing it. And the lady goes, yeah, that was my mom. And she goes, she died of brain cancer. And everywhere you touched on your head was exactly where a tumor was.
Ooh.
And I said, well, I can't explain it. I said, because the only thing that I, you know, it was like a not a twinge, and it wasn't a pain, but it was like a point on a map where I could feel it, so where I could touch it. And so I was just like, I don't, and sometimes I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just like, I always joke and say, don't, you know, don't look at me weird. I'm just listening to the voices in my head. You know, I'm doing what they tell me to do. And sometimes it's to, like, one time I was even doing a reading, and this lady's grandmother was part of the arts and entertainment industry. And I said, oh my God. And I just stood up and I was like, and I said, I'm not going to sing, but I said, if I could sing, I said, I would belt out a tune. And I stood up and everybody was looking at me really weird. And she said, oh my God, that's my grandma was very ta-da and very, but I will share a couple really funny ones. Was one that was, one was talking about, it was an early reading, and I had a friend of ours in our basement of the home at the time we were living in. And I was connecting to a lady, and she was showing me to, you know, herself to me. And I was like, okay, you know, trying to gauge age and everything. And all of a sudden she was wearing like a sundress, and I was like, okay. And then so she lifted her dress and quite honestly exposed her bare butt, smacked her bottom, and said, there, how do you like that? And I immediately turned red because I'm like, oh my God, I just got mooned by a ghost, right? Somebody in spirit. And but I was like, still at the same time, like if you would experience that in real life, you'd be number one, you would probably get, you know, embarrassed as well. And it's like, and I didn't know how to like tell her this, like what I was seeing. I was like, oh my God, she's going to think I'm a weirdo. And I was like, and all I heard was, tell her exactly how you saw it. And I said, and I described her exactly how I saw her, everything to as much detail. And I said, now, I said, this is going to sound so odd, but I said, you know, she lifted her dress, exposed her bare bottom, and smacked it and looked at me and winked and said, there, how do you like that? And kind of sassy. And she started crying. Oh. And I think, oh, crap. She said, no, that's my aunt. And she goes, you described her perfectly. She was such a exhibitionist. And she said, we would go to the beach, like a public beach. And you know how a lot of girls, if they have to do any dressing or undressing, the other girls will make a privacy curtain out of beach towels or something. And she said, not my aunt. She would strip bare naked, right? And, you know, out in the parking lot, and everybody be like, oh my God, what are you doing? Oh, it's nothing they haven't seen already. And she would just, she didn't care. And she would do things to get other people's reaction. And I was like, oh, thank God. As I said, I didn't know how to share that. And I was like, oh my God. So it was, I mean, I was like, you can't make that up. You know, and there was other times too that where, you know, I've done readings prior and where spirit will show up several days, you know, before. And I was like, oh, you know, I've even had, there was a really difficult, I guess, reading. It was around children, and it was interesting as I was working with the parents, the kids had me write a letter, and I didn't really know like what I was doing. Like I was like, okay. And I was like, and I wrote it. I wrote the date because I made note. I was like, I need to write the date on it. And I wrote the letter like to the parents. This was from them, like a channel.
And did written. You know you were going to be meeting with parents? This just
that
came
was
to
so
you
weird. It was so.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I was like, and it was like I was talking, you know, talking to them. I'm like, Okay, so I don't know who I'm giving this to, obviously. Obviously, you guys do. And I folded it up and I put it like on my desk in my office, because at the time I was seeing, we had moved and we were seeing people in our home at the time. And the parents came in for the reading and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And they were like, what? They were all freaking out. And I said, I just realized who, and this had been sitting there. I don't know how many, was it a month? I don't even remember. And I was like, I just remembered I have something here for you. Mm. And they were like, and I could just feel it in my body. It was right. It was like, hey, Dean, you need to deliver that, you know, the mail. And I was like, oh my God. And I said, I'm supposed to read you this letter that I wrote you on the date. And obviously it was very moving for them. And I said, they knew. And it was interesting because the mom had talked about, you know, we have been back and forth for quite some time about coming to see you. And she said, so that would make sense that you had it on your desk for a long time. But the boys must have knew that, you know, so it's so fascinating to me that, you know, if we're listening, where we can be guided. And, but yeah, so there's, so those were a couple, you know, I've been to, you talked about the Uber. So it was kind of interesting as well, is I got connected with a agent of all things. And the agent was involved many years ago with the Minnesota Vikings, the football team. And there was, when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, which is only about 3 hours from where I live, he said, you need to come down here because I want you to network with some folks. I could really see you connecting with, I don't know, they had some people from The Voice and they had some other folks. And he said, I would like to kind of try to market you in a sense. I don't know, whatever agent lingo. So I was like, all right, I'll come on down. And so, you know, staying a little ways away from downtown Minneapolis, and I jump in a Uber, and, you know, and of course, started chatting with the gentleman, and I was super pumped to be there. And of course it was Super Bowl weekend, and, you know, the energy was electric, and he goes, so what do you do? And of course, wow. And I said, well, I said, you're not going to believe it, but I am a psychic medium. And he goes, really? And he, as a joke, I think, and he was very, I can't remember what nationality he was, but he was, Middle Eastern or something. And, he was like, could you read me? And I was like, are you sure? Cause I was like, you know, be careful what you wish for.
And
sometimes.
You are driving.
And you are driving. I don't want us to, you know, like go off a bridge or something. He was like, no, yes, yes. And I was like, okay. And so I started connecting and he started crying and he was like, oh my God, that is, you know, my mother. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, so whether it was a, you know, a chance reading in a Uber or whether it was, you know, I did a tour boat gallery one time. Haven't done nothing in an aircraft yet. Knock on wood, you know, we'll, you know, as I say yet, because usually when I say I haven't done
it'll happen.
Yeah, that'll happen. Then it just happens. So it's always kind of interesting that, you know, it kind of gives new meaning to the Mile High Psychics Club, right? So that's completely different. But if you haven't noticed already, I like to joke when, if I could, you know, make it appropriate. Obviously, I'm not going to do something inappropriate, but because the work that we do as psychics and mediums obviously can be so very people are in a lot of distress. They're grieving. Right. They're, you know, and understandably so. I mean, I've been there myself. I've, you know, lost my father and other people in my family. So understand the pains of losing someone.
Now, from your perspective,
yeah,
as the psychic medium, and yes, somebody comes to you and they're like, I want you to give me a reading. And you, everybody does it differently. Maybe you want to hold something of theirs, or maybe you doodle, or, you know, everybody's a little bit different.
Yep.
Have you ever encountered someone, it was just like a wall? It's like, I cannot read you.
You know, there has been a couple.
Because I would think there would be people like that.
Yeah, there has been a couple, and they're really difficult to, for whatever reason. And I don't believe that everybody, like, so I don't believe that everybody is meant for Dean McMurray to read, because, you know, if there's somebody that is meant for, you know, it's like, I have referred people onto other mediums or others. It's like, oop, I'm not supposed to be reading you. For whatever reason. And it could be the way that I deliver the message. They need to get it in a different way.
That's interesting. You know, I've never thought of it
or
like that.
Dealing with something that, because we all base, I mean, there is a sense of logic, believe it or not, to the, you know, psychics and mediums. Like, so if you think about our past, kind of builds on our knowledge base, right? Obviously. And so that way you can, as the practitioner, you can speak in a way that maybe other people and deliver the message in a way that somebody has never had the experience can deliver it in a way that nobody else can. And so, you know, so say if, for example, say if somebody, you know, because you never know what's going to come through. And for example, maybe it's somebody that experienced sexual trauma, we'll just say something very serious, very heavy, very, you know, but if it comes up in the reading, you know, it's, you know, I can't relate to that in a personal sense. However, you know, maybe somebody else that has can convey it a little bit differently than maybe so clinically, maybe we can say, and put it in a more personal, you know what I am trying to say? And the same with military. Now, because I have a military background, does that make me an expert in all things? No, you won't see me on the Fox News talking about all things military. However, the thing is I typically can get what I jokingly refer to as the flavor or the vibration of different branches of military. And so, like, say, for example, Carol, you talked about your dad being in the Air Force, or, you know, somebody's loved one was in the Navy or Marines. And it was interesting because I did I was in the western part of the state here doing a gallery this number of years ago. And it was interesting is that I had a gentleman in spirit that was stepping forward, and he was very proud of the fact that he was a Marine through and through. There was no question. There was absolutely, you know, I have a lot of friends that are that used to be in the Marine Corps. And even if they went on to join other branches, they'll always say that they're a Marine, even if they're currently serving, right? And I was like, but what's so interesting is that he's also an aviator, and this is something he's connected to World War II about the flying leathernecks. And the gentleman that stepped forward, there was a big bodybuilder guy in the audience. And he was like, rose his hand, and he had this thick, I mean, if you're in the Midwest, you have this guy, this big guy, and he's like, yo, that's my Uncle Vinny. And it was like straight on like Sopranos, right? And it's like, oh, okay. And he was like, yeah, go on to say that his uncle served in World War II, flew, you know, for the Marine Corps, and was a fighter pilot. And And I said, you know what's so interesting? I said, as I connected, I said, obviously from your accent, I said, are you, I said, you know, you're not originally from here, I take it. And he goes, no, I'm from New York. And I said, well, and before we got on to about his voice, I should back up a little bit in the story. I got ahead of myself. Is in his uncle's message was, you know, talking about as it his uncle was trailing off. I said, we also have some other folks coming in for you as well. And it was so fascinating for me. I said, is that you're surrounded by firemen. And I said, they all have their hands on each other's backs and like pushing each other, like push. And they're, and the last one is like pushing you, but like pushing you out. And I said, does that make any sense? And of course, here's this big guy and he starts crying and he goes, yeah, he goes. And I said, well, I said, first off, I, you know, recognizing that you're not from here and originally at least. And he goes, no, I'm from New York. And he said, you talk about the firemen. He goes, I'm a mechanic now by trade. He goes, in a previous life. And here we are in September, is on September 11th. He was a fireman and he was with one of the major fire departments in the New York area. Mm. And I counted the number of firemen that had their hands. I can't even remember anymore. But he goes, those were my quote, you know, brothers that did not make it. And he said, quite honestly, they pushed me out.
Oh,
of the building.
Oh, yeah. That gave me
goosebumps. And he goes, and that he goes, so he said, you talk about, because he said we couldn't really see. And he goes, and we were all having our hands on each other to try to, and he said, they pushed me, like when things started to collapse and he goes, they pushed me and to try to like save me. Wow. And he said, you know, none of them were, you know, none of them made it, unfortunately.
Is it?
And I was like, holy crap. You know,
that it has to be difficult for you when you get a message like that. I would be like, I got to go and just, get
I
my
just
composure.
Gotta, I got to go cry in the corner.
Like,
yeah.
This is emotional.
It's, you know, I think the thing is sometimes it's really hard because people don't realize the energy emotionally and the other, you know, connecting is one thing. That's a lot of energy. But the emotional, how do I want to say, the staying emotionally neutral takes a tremendous amount of time. Connecting when you're a mom or a dad in my position, or a fellow soldier, or you're conveying a heart-wrenching story, or you're watching, like you're giving evidential information on how somebody died. Like this is heavy stuff. Like, and it pulls at your heartstrings because guess what? You're human. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like afterwards you're sitting there digesting this reading. And it's just like, holy crap. I was in witness of this, even though, yes, I was the channel. Like I had the opportunity. I was blessed to be part of this event. Right. And, you know, so yeah, sometimes it does. And it's not like I was a, blubbering mess, but there's been times where I've come up and, you know, like hug my kids or, you know, look at my, you know, saying, you know, and there was one time I did a session and I came home and I said, I think we were eating and I stopped my daughter and I said, I want you to know how much I appreciate and love you. And I got the biggest eye roll, whatever, dad. And I said, you don't realize. I said, I just did a reading for a 30-year-old lady today. And I said, the whole time she was growing up, she never heard, I love you or I appreciate you. And it took today, 30 years, to talk with her dad that is now deceased, to hear I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. I'm, you know, I love you.
Oh, wow.
And I said, so if I never say it again, I said, I want you to know that. Because I said that, I said, if nothing else, like, so I don't think that, you know, and I consider myself blessed because with every reading that I do, that it's not this, just the client that gets, you know, the message, like I get something out of it as well. Not only do I get to connect to some really interesting characters, but like, and to bear witness to some incredible things. But the other aspect of going, I learned something out of it too. Like mm-hmm. if I'm not walking away more appreciative of what I have and walking gratitude and going, wow, how lucky am I? Like how, you know, and I'm like maybe I should stop. If I'm not learning something from that reading, like I need to stop what I'm doing. I'm not too busy to stop and go, hey kids, I love you. Or, you know, go tell my wife that I love her or go do something like, hey, let's stop what we're doing. Let's all go and do something as a family or let's, you know, things before it's too late. And why are we waiting?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of hits you right in the feels. And it kind of, yeah, because we're all mirrors for each other. And I don't think if we're looking, you know, if we bear witness in other people's lives, we can learn something. And I believe that's one of the beautiful things that spirit, it's not just for the clients. Like that's a beautiful thing about public galleries too, is you don't have to get a reading to get a healing, quote unquote healing, because, you know, if you've ever watched on TV or been to a public gallery, like, oh my God, they were speaking directly to me, but he was talking to that lady, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever. And it's like, well, that's the beautiful thing about a gallery. Like it touched you, but I was talking to this person, but it touched five other people, you know? So yes, it's for you guys too. And that's the beautiful thing. So, but yeah, so those are, I mean, just a few of the examples, but I mean, as you do it over the years, you know, you get to bear witness to some beautiful things. There's some things that are very dark and in people's pasts and, you know, whether it's talking about murders or suicides or
yeah.
addictions to, you know, traumas like, sexual or physical abuse. And just, I mean, because it's life, there's so many levels of different things, but and of course, obviously, I always love when it's a lighthearted approach. And I'll leave off the stories with this one. I was doing another public event in a kind of a restaurant bar, and different groups of ladies there. And I this actually reading taught me to never. I wasn't judging anybody, but sometimes like. I think it's just human nature when we see somebody by the way they're dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just kind of assume a little bit like that's probably one of their hobbies, right? Or they have an interest in sometimes. And so anyways, there was a lady that I would assume that she was very much into motorcycles because that's how she was kind of dressed. And so what was interesting is I was connecting to this very sweet old grandmother in spirit. She was the sweetest thing. And I was giving other evidential information. And this lady goes, that's my grandma. And I said, oh, and so we started into the reading. And I was like, oh, she talks about jail, like getting out of jail. And I was like, and that was the first thing that she leads with. And I was like, and I made the assumption, which just made me look like a bonehead. But I was, I said, did she get you out of jail? She was like, no, I had to get grandma out of jail. And I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. This is going to be a good one. Because here, the sweet old granny was the like the baddest lady out there. She was like the you know, and but she had this sweet persona, like she was this. And here where she was a hellraiser, and she, and I said, oh, my God, I love her. Well, I said, oh,
you have to interpret that information. You know, it's well, like, right. you haven't read the backstory.
I haven't. But yeah. So yeah. But it, that really taught me, too, is like you can never judge a book by its cover. And just because somebody dresses a certain way or acts a certain way doesn't mean that they have, you know, have had that experience. And it was just like, oh, and it was like, okay, here we go, like sweet old grandma getting busted out of jail. And yeah, so you know, so I mean, some are just make a still today, but 90, I would say 99% of all the readings that I do, I can't remember them. And quite honestly, I wouldn't want to remember them, Carol, because, you know, we talked about that, about they could be heavy. They could, mm-hmm. you know, they're not all happy.
And it wasn't you know, all meant for you anyway. That it was coming not through exactly. you for that person.
You are 100% spot on, because that reading, number one, is not mine. And I don't want to hang on to it because it was never mine. I'm just there. I'm just the vessel.
Wow.
So, you know, so that's, you know, and I consider it a blessing that it's kind of, it gets flushed away. And that's why people get frustrated going, do you remember that reading? Do you remember me? And I'm like, unless they've been back, like to get multiple, be like, I'm really sorry, but I don't. Well, that was just like an hour ago. It's like, yeah, sorry.
But it just kind of, you know, would be like a movie, like you're seeing it for the first time and it's coming out and you're sharing right. the information well, and then it's over.
Right. Well, and that's, yeah. And so, and that, but I wouldn't want to, if somebody continually came back to me, you know, it's like, you know, you wouldn't want any past information to cloud your reading.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's that's like, true. Oh yeah, that's I remember true. About this, that, the other thing. And
it might
it's
not
like,
even
so
be the same person coming through if anybody comes through, you know?
Right.
Because
right.
I kind of well, get how when you're dealing with grief and you go to someone like you and you make that connection and you mm-hmm. feel like you've had an experience with a loved one who has passed, you yeah. want to have that experience again.
Well, you do. And, sure. And I get that because, you know, we want to connect to mm-hmm. those that we love one more time. To feel that connection. We want to feel close to our loved ones. That's, I think that's a human, you know, trait or piece. And so I completely get that. I get that on a personal level. So, you know, but the thing is that, yeah, I think a lot of people though, when they come to a medium or a psychic, they sometimes do themselves a disservice because they already put the reading in a box, is what I call it. And they already in their mind's eye, they already know like who's coming through, how the reading will go. And, you know, and I always say as a medium is a medium is a medium. We all do the same thing, but we all do it differently. Mm-hmm. And so those are the people that typically get really disappointed. And because it wasn't delivered in the package that they had envisioned, the person that they were hoping for didn't step forward and they didn't receive the message that they wanted. And I always say, I'm sorry, but I'm not here to deliver the messages that you want.
Exactly.
I'm here to deliver exactly. the message that you need. Even though, and whether it's hard to hear or not, whether your ego allows that, and of course, sometimes that really, really inflames people because if they're, you know, especially if they're kind of hurting, you know, but at the same time is like, and that's where you get some people that, you know, I guess don't like their reading in a sense of, and you know, when it comes to that. But I would say is if anybody's out there looking for readings, is to stay open. What, you know, and obviously you can focus on the individual that you hope to come forward, you know, with, but you know, I don't know of anybody that can guarantee 100% of the time, yeah, tell me the name and we'll get that individual. Like, yep, that's guaranteed. I don't know if you can. I don't know of any medium that.
No, I've never heard of that.
No, no. So, you know, doing the best that they can, obviously. But the thing is that, and there are some tremendous, tremendous mediums and psychics out there and other folks, channelers, whatever. Yeah, so it's, you know, I would just share to folks is stay open when you go get a reading. So
now, speaking of readings, do you do them, like, can someone go to your website and line up a reading that way, like you do it over Zoom, or do you prefer doing them in person? How does that work for you?
Yeah, well, I can do them anyway. So I can do them over phone. I can do them over Zoom. If you go through my website and line, you can line it up there. There's different types of readings that I offer in different lengths, price points. And then those are typically done through Zoom, but I do also offer for those in the continental United States, I offer, you know, a traditional phone reading. Some still like that. And then I also offer like a really cheap, option for email, like where they can ask three questions, if you will. And that's more on the psychic aspect, but, and then of course there are some like more, if I don't do tarot, but if, you know, people want to do like oracle cards or whatever, if they want to get some, guidance on that, then I also offer that as a side thing as well. But, so yeah. There you go.
But what an interesting conversation today.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much, Carol, for having me on. It's been a pleasure and an honor being on your program today.
And that wraps up our conversation with Dean McMurray, the military medium. You can get more information at his website, deanmcmurray.com. Now, if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes without the commercials, then you could become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.